The message today is based on the scripture that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And that scripture says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Foolishness. Foolishness is the Greek word that is being used here is moraia, and it means or translates folly or absurdity, and also the word foolishness. And if we go through the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, you're going to find many, many texts and scriptures that talk about being a fool and looking for wisdom. It talks in the Proverbs of the babbling fool, or the way of a fool, or the folly of fools. There are many, many scriptures. I'm not going to even go there, because there is something that's even more important. I mean, we are fools, right? We're all fools at some times or another. Have you ever locked the keys in your car by mistake? Left the phone somewhere that you didn't want to because you forgot it? Have you ever been told by your mom, "Stop acting the fool"? It's happened to me a few times. We do foolish things. We do foolish things. So there's the foolish things that we're aware of. They're the foolish things that are in the book of Proverbs. But this message is not about that. This message is about the most foolishness of all. It is about death or salvation. That's what this is about. It is understanding the message or the word of the cross. If I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." Why would Paul have said that to the Corinthians at the time? Corinth at the time was a very prosperous city. There were universities, there was education and academics and academia. It was hustling and bustling. And here he is, he's saying that if we preach Christ crucified, it's a stumbling block. It was a stumbling block to the Jews because those Jews that lived in Corinth at the time, they liked the law. They liked their splendor, their rituals, their power. But the word of the cross, the fact that the Messiah died on a cross, was actually to them an outrage. It was an outrage because they believed, and many still do, that the Messiah wasn't going to come to die on a cross. He was going to come in power and in glory, and he was going to come, and their expectation of what he would do would be to just crush the Roman influence at the time. They never thought that by crucifixion that would bring eternal life. The Jews were very upset. It was a stumbling block to them, this mystery or this message of the cross. And then to the Gentiles, to all those who were not Jewish, the cross to them and this whole message was sort of like a story, sort of like a tale. Because in Corinth, they had all these philosophers and psychologists and academics, and they thought that their wisdom, the human wisdom, was, you know, the most important thing. And they loved their health and their beauty and their power. They didn't have any sympathy for religion which glorified a crucified Christ. What they didn't like was that it appealed to those who understood that they were sinners. Their taste for speculation and novelty was not the doctrine or the fact that Christ died for us so we could have eternal life. It just didn't seem to fit in their wisdom and in their philosophies that somebody would have to die so we could live. It just wasn't part of it for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19, it says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise." Ooh, that's interesting. "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." We have a lot of wisdom thrown at us each and every day. We have self-help thrown at us, self-help books and psychology and how to manage stress. And we have wisdom at the academic levels in our universities and so on, human wisdom, human philosophy, human thinking. And Paul is saying here, don't deceive yourselves. It's just foolishness in God's sight. You see, true wisdom doesn't come from man. True wisdom comes from the power of God. Let's go back to that verse. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. We are saved by that power. Now, I want to make something very clear here, because people can use this scripture in an incorrect way. We are saved when we repent and receive the Holy Spirit. But we are also being saved as we progress in our lives with the Holy Spirit in us until that time when we are glorified. This isn't a scripture of how to be saved. This isn't a scripture of that, well, we're being saved, but we're not saved yet. We are saved when we receive the Holy Spirit and it is sealed in us. But what we're saying here is that to us who are being saved, who are going toward that point of glorification, we are being saved by the power of God, because it's with us each and every day and every moment of our lives. We've prayed about that already today. And it's that power, it's that saving power. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is what? The power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So if you believe, you have the power of God and you are saved, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Interesting, the Jew, they have the stumbling block because of the Messiah shouldn't be on a cross. And to the Gentile, they have the stumbling block because they have their own foolishness of wisdom, man's wisdom. And here Paul just nails it. He says, the power of God brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, those who have these stumbling blocks in their way. You see, when we read this scripture about the cross and what happened on the cross, at the cross, you see, we were given a full pardon. It was granted to us. That pardon was granted to us the moment in which we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And at that moment and going forward in our lives, the power of God is always available to us and in us. And we are to use that power to grow in our understanding and to make use of it as we live a Christian life. It would be reprehensible that we are given a power and a gift and grace and we don't use it. And it's too bad, because I know that there are times where people think, well, I'm saved, that's it, okay, fine, I can move on. No, that's not it. That's just the start. You see, according to the scripture that we just read, we're either going to be a person who is going to perish, or we're a person who's going to be saved. It's very simple. We are saved, and we are being saved. And we are in the process of being saved day to day as each day goes on. You know, day-to-day life is the same for the perishing, or for those who are perishing, and it's the same for those who are being saved. Every day, we still need to provide our families. We need to put food on the table. Every day, we need to be comforted, endure trials. Every day, we may encounter bereavement or sorrow. Every day, we may encounter lies and deceits. Every day, we can have days of joy and days of happiness. And every day, we live in a world that is surrounding us of injustice and abuse and violence and terror. And see, we can't escape the realities of life around us. Even if we are being saved, they are still there. We can't all of a sudden just escape to some secret, safe place where we are untouched by the world and we can just safely go to our grave. Life goes on. Life goes on. But it is up to us. We can either receive the message of the cross, or we can perish. See, the message of the cross, as it says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's a power. And this word message in this passage is exactly the same Greek word that we find in 1 John chapter, or John chapter 1 in the first verse. That word message is logos. And in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Logos, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if I go back to this scripture, so it says, for the Word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message or the word of the cross is the word of Jesus Christ and what he has taught us and what he has done for us. You see, the word of Christ, the gospel, it is the plan of God. It is redemption. It is the gospel messaged, delivered, and made possible only because of the death on the cross. Through the power of God and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we belong to Christ, it is the power that will not rob us of salvation. It is the power of God. It is by the cross that we have been pardoned, that we've been purified, that we have been brought to peace and given power. You see, we're not to preach what the cross is. We're not to preach what exactly happens on the cross. We are to preach what is preached from the cross. We are to preach the Word. We are to preach Jesus Christ. We are to preach who he is and what he's done. That's what the mystery or the message of the cross is. It's Jesus Christ on the cross. See, it's not the act of preaching that's powerful. It is what is preached that is to be powerful. So as believers, we are receiving the message or the word of the cross when we yield to Christ. We make our allegiance to Christ. We praise Christ. We worship Christ. We thank him. We praise him. because he is the one who has saved us, and it is the power of God. It is the power of God to bring salvation to all who believe. And that power of God is the message of the cross. And if we are being saved, we are being saved for eternal life. And if we think that message is foolishness, we perish. We perish. You see, it is the power of God that brings us a new life of service and surrender. It's the power of God that helps us to resist temptation. It is the power of God that helps us to endure sufferings and trials and tribulation in ways that man's wisdom cannot help us. Man's wisdom doesn't get you through the trials and the tribulations. When you know and understand who Christ is and he lives in you, whatever we are confronted with, he brings us through it. He gives us that strength and that courage, and he teaches us. It is the power of God that teaches us how to wait and how to be patient. It's through the power of God that we can experience joy. It's through the power of God that we are made humble and we are drawn closer in our humility to Christ. You see, and then through that power of God, when we've received Christ, as we're being saved, as it says in the scripture, we receive God's protection and his blessings. We receive, as I mentioned once before, comfort and strength to get through trials. We receive comfort when sometimes there's bereavement and sorrow. You know, we'll still encounter lies and deceits. We still will live in a world of injustice and terror and war and abuse. But everything a sinning person needs can be found at the cross. Everything a sinning person needs can be found at the cross. Let the power of the cross, the power of God, work in us. You see, when we go beyond our foolish wisdom and when we rely on our faith, that great word, the message of the cross, it's the cross that is the death of sin. It is the cross that cancels sin. It is the cross that brings power to a person's life, and that the word of the cross can work in each and every one of us. It's unfortunate, though. There are still some for whom the story of the cross is just an amusing tale. And until they are born again, it's a stumbling block. It's foolishness. You see, either a person is in the process of salvation or you're in the process of destruction. That's it. You will either perish or be saved. And unfortunately, it is only foolishness to them that are perishing because for whatever reason, the word of the cross, the message of the cross has no meaning. No reality. But for those who understand the message of the cross, the word of the cross, what Christ did on the cross, that we preach and we understand who Christ is, then real power comes. And we are enlightened and we are renovated, renewed. We are given energy and vitality. We are made alive. We are made alive in Christ. If I read Ephesians chapter 2, the first 5 verses. As for you who are dead in your transgression and sins, those who think the word of God is foolishness, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time. We still do. They're around us. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But Because of his great love for us, God in his mercy, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead with transgressions. And it is by grace we have been saved, or you have been saved. See, for the foolish, Isaiah 29:14 is very clear. He said, therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. And like those, they will perish along with their wisdom and their intelligence. But those who have been called by God's grace and who have been responded by faith realize that in Christ, by that word of the cross, God's power and God's wisdom, with that we will not perish. In fact, we can look forward to a time where it says in Revelation 17, we will wage war, they will wage war, evil will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, the chosen, and the faithful followers. There will be no foolish people with him. This morning I was recommended a book a long time ago. It's a daily devotion called My Utmost for His Highest. It's written by Oswald Chambers. And in my morning devotion, I found, or it was about, this one particular verse. I'm just going to turn to it. I don't have it on the screen because I only, as I said, found it this morning. But I think it's very appropriate. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. It's a verse I think that we should all maybe memorize. It's a verse where it summarizes everything. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, depending on the translation you're reading, it will say, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." In the NIV it says, "Turn to me and be saved. Get rid of the foolishness. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Lord Jesus, Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, we come before you and we pray. Let us not be wise in our own eyes. Give us a deeper understanding of the power of the cross, the word of the cross, the message of the cross. Help us to look to Christ every moment of our lives, every day, knowing our salvation is secure and that we will not perish. But that we pray for others, that we pray for our family and our friends and those in our community. We pray that they are not caught up in the foolishness of this world, but that they look to you. Great God, bring them to the message of the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That I'd like to ask Anne or to
number 425.